Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Chaf Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asaf family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Today's daf has been studied the Adin Ishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tenechenu began Eden. Amen. We are starting the third perek. We'll start off where we ended yesterday, finishing the second perek. We didn't say the Hadran yesterday, so we'll say it today. Hadran, Alach, Osin, Pasin. And now we start with the third perek of Erubin. Now, the beginning of our perek is going to discuss how to make and set up an Eruv Tehumin. What is Eruv Tehumin? Again, we learned that on Shabbat we are limited how far we're allowed to travel from our homes or from our city. Torah tells us, according to Rabbi Akiva at least, that you have 2,000 amot from where you have your residency. So for example, from the house or from the end of the city, you would go 2,000 amot to either direction. However, if a person wants to extend his tehum, before Shabbat he would set up residency in a further distance, and then he's able to start his 2,000 amah from that point. How do you set up residency? You don't have to build a house. All you have to do is, you have to put some food. Because what is residency? It's a place where you eat also. So as long as you put some food in a certain spot before Shabbat, so then you can count your 2,000 amot from that spot. Our first Mishnah is going to discuss what type of foods are viable for an Eruv Tehumin. It seems not every food will work to make an Eruv Tehumin. Now, that setting up of the food before Shabbat is called Makom Shevitato. The place literally where he rested or the place where he set up his residency from before Shabbat. And the Mishnah begins. Bakol Me'arbin Umishtatefin. With all types of food, it is permissible to make, according to Rashi, Erubei Haserot. Erubei Haserot, we learned, is when you have different residents in a courtyard and they need to join together. So how do they join together to make it one residency? So each person gives food and they put it in the home of one of the batim in the Hatzerot, and now it's considered all one family, so to speak, so they can carry collectively in the Hatzer. So according to Rashi, our Mishnah is telling us that they are, you could make Erubei Haserot and Erubei Tehumin with all types of foods, except Bakol Meharbin Umishtatefin. Now Mishtatefin would be referring to Shetufe Mevuot. Shetufe Mevuot, we explained, is if you have the alleyway. Now you have Haserot open into the alleyway. So the alleyway now becomes a common property. So for all the residents in the Haserot, for them to carry in the shared property, they have to make what's called Shetufe Mevuot. Shetufe Mevuot is what Erubei Haserot is to the Haser. Which means what Erubei Haserot does to the residents for them to carry in a Haser, Shetufe Mevuot does for them to carry in the Mavui. So again, it's an inyan of food. They have to collect the food from each Haser and put it in one of the Haserot. That makes them all united. And the reason why the rabbis made these takanot, these are from the rabbis, these takanot, is because since they're shared properties, they look like a reshut harabim. And therefore, if a guy's going to carry in a chatzer, and he sees his neighbor carrying in a chatzer, and other people carrying in a chatzer, he says, what's between this and a reshut harabim? It's a public property. But once he knows before Shabbat, he had to join with the other neighbors and share, make it one, so now already he knows that this is different. So again, bakol me'arbin. Umishtatefin, with everything you can make, Erubei Haserot and Erubei Tehumin. Umishtatefin, and you may be able to make Shetufe Mevuot. Chutz min amayim umin amelach. Except with water and salt. Because, as the Gemara is going to say, these items are not considered mezonot. These items are not considered foods where a person sustains himself. So therefore, if a guy before Shabbat goes and puts a glass of water and some salt, so that already you didn't set up your Shivita as such. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, "V'hakol nikach bekesef ma'aser chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melach." Once the Mishnah is on the discussion of different types of foods and what's permissible, what's not, the Mishnah discusses the case of ma'aser sheni. Halakha says that in the first, in the second, in the fourth, in the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, one is obligated to give ma'aser sheni. That's 10% of his produce. He takes it to Yerushalayim and he eats it. Or he takes the money that he redeemed his produce, and he takes the money and goes up to Yerushalayim and spends it on food. But he must eat it in Yerushalayim. So the question is, what type of foods are you allowed to buy with the kesef of ma'aser for ma'aser sheni? So the Mishnah says all foods, except for melach and mayim. Again, salt and water is not considered food. And the Gemara will substantiate that. The Mishnah continues, Hanoder min ha-mazon. For that matter, a person makes a nedir. He says, I am not going to benefit from mazon. Mazon would be like the food or things that sustain. So, mutar be-mayim u-be-melach. It would be permissible for him to partake in salt and water. Again, that's not considered mazon. And therefore, it does not go against his nedir. When a person makes a nedir, we go after his language. He said, I vow against mazon. Mazon is a food. These are not considered food that sustain a person. And therefore, it is permissible for him to have as such. Me'arbin l'nazir b'yayin u'Yisrael b'truma. Now we discuss foods that would be permissible or forbidden, I should say, to the person that's making the Iruv. For example, a Nazir is forbidden to have wine. So the question would be, can a Nazir set up his Iruv with Yayin? A Nazir is somebody that makes a vow not to drink wine, let's say, for 30 days at least. So the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin the Nazir b'Yayin. Even though he can't drink the wine, but since the wine, somebody else can drink it, so therefore it is valid to set up the Iruv. And for that matter, in Yisrael can use Terumah. Now obviously a Yisrael cannot eat Terumah, only a Kohen can eat Terumah. So the Mishnah, we according to Tana Kama at least, holds that the food does not have to be necessarily edible by the person that is setting it up. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus says, Becholin, Sumchus says, no, that only Yisrael is able to set up a Iruv with Hulim. That is regular food. Now, Sumchus does not argue by the Nazir case. So the Gemara is going to analyze why by the Nazir case you allow him to use wine, but by Yisrael case you don't allow him to use Teruma. That the Gemara will give the Chiduk. But he holds that only a Cholin for a Yisrael. Ul Kohen Bebe Taparis. Now we discuss where you're putting the Iruv. For the Iruv to be viable, it has to be in a place that's accessible, that you can get to it. So now the question is, let's say a Kohen puts his Iruv in a Bet Taparis. What is a Bet Taparis? That's a certain area, a field, where there was a mit that was buried in the field, and they went and plowed the field. The concern is that the blades of the plow is going to draw up some of the flesh of the body of the mit and is going to scatter it around the field. Now, a Kohen is not allowed to walk through that field. However, as we learned in Masechet Berachot, there is a way, if the Kohen needs to cut through that field called Bet HaParis, there's a way for him to cut through it, and that's Menapeyach. Meaning, so long as he walks and he blows his way, meaning any fragments of the mit, the Kohen looks closely when he blows to the side so he can walk through. Now going to a Bet HaParis is only Isur the Rabbanan. It's because really, Min HaTorah, you don't have to assume that the blade went deep enough to scatter the fragments. So therefore, the Hiddush is, let's say, he set up his Eruv in a Bet HaParis. So according to Sumchus, he's telling you, it'll be permissible, the Eruv will be viable. Why? Because there is a way for the Kohen to get through the Bet HaParis on Shabbat. How? Menapeyach, betok Bet HaParis. He can blow the way through, so therefore, since there's a way for him to get there, it is permissible. Now actually, as she says, this Kohen Bet HaParis is not only Sumchus, but it's everybody. It's Stam Tana of the Mishnah. Everybody agrees to that fact. Comes the Mishnah and continues. The Biuda Omer Afilu. Let's get the right. It's a Bibet Hakevarot. He says that it's permissible even if it's in a full-fledged cemetery. Now, in a cemetery, that's already Isur for a coin to go in Midoraita. How can it be permissible to put the Eruv in the cemetery? There's no way, seemingly, he can get there. So the Mishnah says he can get there. Because he can. Lilich. That's how some have the Girsa there. Lachutz v'lilich. Or lilich v'lachutz v'lechol. Meaning he's able to go into the cemetery with a partition. Meaning if they put him in a box, and the box is closed on the bottom, so therefore, the bottom of the box and the walls of the box are able to separate from the tum'ah of the Bet HaKevarot. Now, since there's a way for him to go in, now obviously with on Shabbat, he can't go carry a box to get in. But, hypothetically, Ben Hashem HaShot, if he had the box there, right by the cemetery, he'd technically be able to go in there. So therefore, even a Bet HaKevarot would be a place that is permissible to put a Eruv, that she on the top of the daf, lahutz, that means to interpose, la'asot mechitza beno ubena keber. And he makes a wall between him and the keber, shelo yahil alav. So he doesn't roof over it. Uchgon b'shedat teva migdal. Those are different type of boxes, or carriages. Yikanes shami be'ojom, ba'agalot imiritze, alma, chazi, that we imply from here that it is permissible, it is viable. And now the Gemara begins. Amar of Yohanan. Yohanan teaches us a rule. En lemedin min haklalot. You do not learn lessons from klalot. Meaning, klalot literally means the rules. Many times in the Mishnayot, the Mishnah gives you a rule. Klal amar be so and so. There's a rule. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule. So therefore, Rabbi Yohanan is teaching you, whenever you see a Mishnah that says there's a klal, don't think that the klal does not have any exceptions. Every klal has exceptions. So comes the Gemara and says, Va'afilu b'mkom shene'emar bo'chutz. And even in a case where the Mishnah gives you the exceptions, even where it says the rule is like this, except in this case, still there could be more exceptions. So that's a very important part of Rabbi Yohanan. In the medin min haklalot, afilu b'mkom shene'emar bo chutz. Now, Rabbi Yohanan made this statement. The Gemara is going to deduce that he could not have been talking about our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah does say, chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach. Our Mishnah gives a klal, bakol ma'arvin. That's the klal. Then it says, except you cannot use the Eruv, can make it with water or salt. Now, if Rabbi Yohanan was reacting to our Mishnah, he would not have said, Va'afilu b'mkom shene'emar b'chutz. If he was referring to our Mishnah, which means it sounds like from Rabbi Yohanan, where he says, En lemedin min haklalot. Which means he had a Mishnah in front of him that gave a klal. So he said, En lemedin min haklalot. And then he went further and said, Va'afilu. And even in a case that we're not talking about, but even in a case that says chutz, so the Gemara is going to imply that he wasn't reacting to our Mishnah. So what case was the Yohanan talking about? So the Gemara says, third line, midikamar afilu bimkom shene'emar bo chutz. From the fact that he said, even in a place that it says chutz, michlal delav hachakai. Implying that he was not referring to over here. Because if he was referring to over here, he would not say afilu. He would say that this is the case of the Mishnah. He would say, in a place where it says chutz, you don't learn it technical. There could also be exceptions. From the fact that he said, no, en limidim min haklalot, he must not have had a Mishnah that just gave a klal. And then he said, you know what, not only in this case, but even in a case that would say chutz, you also don't learn a klal. So the Gemara says, where was he referring to? Hechaka'eh. Where was he referring to? So comes the Gemara and says, Hatam Ka'e. He was over there in Masechet Kiddushin. Kol mitzvat aseh, shazman gerama anashim chayavim v'nashim petulot. Any mitzvah, positive commandment, that's bound by time, it's called the mitzvat aseh, shazman gerama. So the Mishnah says, men are obligated, and ladies are exempt. V'shilo hazman gerama. And if it's a positive commandment that is not bound by time, echat nashim ve'echat anashim hayavim. Right? So then men and ladies are equally obligated. So the Gemara says, v'chlalahu, which means this would be a klal, dechol mitzvat aseh, shazman gerama, nashim peturot. Well, you're giving me a rule now. Every positive commandment that's bound by time, Mishnah, you're telling me that the ladies are always going to be exempt? What do you mean? Hare matzah. What about the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach? We know that it's a positive commandment to eat matzah on a specific night of the year, and still we know the ladies are obligated. Furthermore, simcha, the mitzvah to go up on the holiday, and v'samachta b'chagecha, it's a mitzvah to be happy, and the ladies are included, like it says, ata u'betecha. V'hakel, hakel is a mitzvah that happens every 7 years after the Shemitah, on Sukkot, all the Jewish people go up to Yerushalayim, and the king from Yehuda, they build up a podium, and he gives a speech to all Klal Yisrael. That's called the mitzvah of gathering, hakel. Ladies are obligated in hakel. The mitzvah, aser shazman gerama'u, v'nashim hayavot. So, Mishnah, what are you giving me your rule? Your rule is not 100%. You just told me all positive commandments that are bound by time, ladies are exempt. We just gave you matzah, simha, hakel. That what? That the ladies indeed are hayavot. Furthermore, your second rule, dechol mitzvat aser shelo hazman gerama, nashim hayavot. Are you telling me that any mitzvah that is not bound by time, ladies are obligated? Hare talmud Torah, the study of Torah. There is no time for the study of Torah. It's constant. And we know that what? Ladies are exempt. As we know, because the Pasuk says, V'limedetem otam et benechem. So the Gemara learns, benechem, ve'lo benotechem. Priya v'ribya. We know having children, that's a mitzvah on the men. However, it's not a mitzvah on the ladies, even though they carry the child and give birth to the child, but it's not their commandment to have the children. The Gemara learns it from the fact that it says when God told Adam and Rishon, Peru Urvu, he told them that he wants them to conquer the land. The Chivshua, he said, conquer the land. So the Gemara Kedushin says, it's the way for a man to conquer. It's not for a way to a lady to conquer. So this is Peru Urvu was written next to conquering the land to teach you that it's a man's mitzvah. And that ladies, even though Peru Urvu is a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment that is not bound by time. Upijona bin. Furthermore, Pejona ben, redeeming the first born child, meaning after 30 days, there is no limit, which means the mitzvah could be done indefinitely. So therefore, we know that the ladies still are not obligated. The Gemara learns that anybody that himself is obligated to redeem, is obligated to redeem others. But a lady, that there's no mitzvah of redemption on her, so there's no mitzvah on her to redeem. In any event, the mitzvah tashish shalaz man gerama v'nashim peturot. So we're giving you a klal, and you see what? There's exceptions. So on that, Rabbi Yohanan said, Ela amar Rabbi Yohanan in the medin min haklalot. So Rabbi Yohanan said on that Mishnah, you don't learn from klalim. Which means there's always exceptions. And that Mishnah didn't say there were chutz. So to that, Rabbi Yohanan said, Va'afidu b'mkom shneimar b'chutz. Even in a place where it would give you the exceptions, it's still possible to be more exceptions as well. Now, the Gemara continues. We have another place where Rabbi Yohanan could have been saying his rule. Od klal acher amru. We gave another rule regarding the law of a zav. Zav, we explained to somebody that it is tameh, and anything that the zav sits on, anything that he lies on, anything that he steps on, what he lies on is called mishkav, mishkav hazav. What he sits on is called moshav hazav. What he steps on is called midras hazav. All those items become av hatum'ah. Now the Gemara tells us there's a rule regarding a zav. Kol shenisa al gabe hazav tameh. Anything that the zav carries above his head, for example, even though he's not touching the item. For example, if you have a tahor item on something, and the zav himself did not come into direct contact with it, but he carries it, so he carries it over him, so that's a din called elyono shel zav, what goes over a zav. So the Gemara tells us, you have a klal, kol shenisa al gabe hazav, even though he didn't touch it, tameh. Now what type of tumah is this? It does not become an av, it becomes a rishon, the tumah. Because he's an av, it makes it a rishon. V'chol shazav nisa alav taor. But anything that the was carried, that carried the zav, remains tahor. Which means, if something was carrying the weight of a zav and did not actually come in contact with it, it will be tahor. That's the cloud the Mishnah gives. Chutz min ha-ra'uy le-mishkav u-moshav ve-adam. Except for something that is deemed fit for mishkav, for sleeping on, for example, a bed. For example, a zav, lie down on a bed, even though he was dressed in clothes, he didn't touch the bed, but once he's on the bed, so the bed is carrying him, so to speak, that bed will become avatuma. Or for that matter, a moshav, something that's designated for sitting. For example, a chair, as opposed to a bucket, as we learned in the previous masechet, a bucket, even though you could sit on it, but it's not designated for sitting. Because we learned that when the zav would sit on the bucket, what would they say? Amoz and asim elachtenu. They would tell the guy, get up, and we got to go back to work, because you don't sit on a bucket. So therefore, it's got to be designated for sitting. Like I said, a chair. Now, the adam, and for that matter, a man that carries a zav, even though, let's say, the zav is wearing clothes, so he didn't actually touch the zav per se, the man will become an avatuma. So it's interesting, there's three examples where you can become an avatuma. What the zav sits on, what he lies on, and adam, a man that carries the, and I mean the zav's weight is on the adam. That's the rule. So the Gemara says, Vetu leka, well, there's no more cases. Ve'aika mirkav. What the zav rides on. Meaning, for example, if the zav is riding a horse, and there's a saddle, so what the zav is riding on, that's called mirkav, is that what he rides on, that saddle, for example, would be considered avatuma. So why don't you only give me the case, mishkav, moshav, and adam, you left out mirkav. So the Gemara says, hai mirkav hechidame. This is what he's talking about. What's the case of mirkav? Idiyativ ale. If it's somewhere where you're sitting on the saddle, hainu moshav. That's sitting. That's all saddle is designated for sitting. So that's like a chair. So we mentioned that case. So the Gemara says, ananachi kamiyan. This is what we meant to say. Haika gaba de ukpa. You have the, literally the, they call it the gav of the back of the ukaf of the saddle. Netanya, we have a Mishnah Braita. Ha ukaf tameh moshav. The ukaf itself, what's the saddle? It's tameh moshav, because it's designated for sitting. However, v'hat tafus tameh mirkav. What is a tafus? In front of the saddle is a separate piece that you hold on to. Right? You hold on to the pummel, so you don't fall off. The pummel, they call it. Now, when you're holding on to it, you're not sitting on it. No, not the reins. It's like a knob that comes in front of the saddle. It's not part of the saddle, because if it was part of the saddle, it'll become avatuma, like from the saddle itself. It's a separate piece. Now, the zav, let's say, lifts himself when he's riding the horse, and he puts his weight, he leans on the tafus. Tafus literally means the grip, where he holds it. So therefore the hiddush is that there is mirkav, that pummel, that tafus is going to become indeed an avatuma as well. So how come you didn't mention that? You only told me mishkav, moshav, adam. You forgot mirkav, and we're not referring to the ukaf. The ukaf is moshav. You're referring to the tafus. So the Gemara says, "Ela shma mina, en medin min haklalot, va'afilu b'mkom sh'ne'emar bo chutz." So on that, Rabbi Yochanan came along and said that what we don't learn from Mishnayot when they say the word klal, there can be exceptions, like in this case over here as well. Comes the Gemara and says, when I goes further and says, Amar Rabbi Nabi Timur Rav Nachman, Af Ana Nami Tanina. We have another example. What's the example? Bakol Me'arbin Mishtatefin. It is permissible to make an Iruv, or for that matter, Shetufe Mevuot, Chutz Min Amayim VeHamelach. Except, like we learned, you cannot use water and salt. So the Gemara says, "Vetu leka." Is that it? You can only water and salt as the exceptions. Ve'aika kimihinu petriot. We have truffles and mushrooms that are also not considered food. They're considered fungus that grow from the environment. For example, they don't even consider them growing from the ground. The berachan, a mushroom, would be shakol yahud baro. It's not considered that it's growing from the ground. It grows from the environment. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ela shma mina." So therefore you learn the rule of Rabbi Hanan again. That even though it said except for water and salt, there are more exceptions. So therefore don't be fooled when you see chutz. There could be more than is mentioned. Comes the Gemara and continues. We learned in the Mishnah that everything can be redeemed with the money of ma'asir. All types of food. I mean, you go to Jerusalem, you take your kesef of ma'asir and you buy food with it, except what we say, water and salt. Comes the Gemara and says, "Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, of machloket tanaim." Had matni a'iruv. One learns this statement only by a'iruv. That what? That it is permissible to use anything for a'iruv except for salt and water. The had matni a'ma'asir. And one says, no, this statement of except for salt and water is referring to ma'asir. What does it mean? Gemara says, had matni a'iruv. The rabbi that has the text that this is referring to specifically a'iruv, lo shena ela mayim b'fnei atzmo u'melach b'fnei atzmo de'en ma'arbin. That you cannot make an a'iruv with water alone, or for that matter, salt alone. Aval b'mayim u'melach ma'arbin. But salt water, you can make for an eruv. Why? Because that's used as a condiment, which means people eat salt water. They take their bread and they dip it in. So therefore, a condiment even would be enough to be considered an eruv. So the first rabbi learned with the Mishnah that said you can't use salt or water. First of all, it's talking about separately. And second of all, it's only referring to eruv. But if you mix it together, it would be permissible. Behad matni ma'asir. And one rabbi who learned is referring to ma'asir, meaning which you're not allowed to buy. Lo shanu elamayim b'fnei atzmo melach b'fnei atzmo. Again, only water alone and salt on the end nikhin. You cannot buy. Aval, mayim u'melach nikhin bekesef ma'asir. Good. So he'll hold that salt water will be good for ma'asir as well. Now the question is, what would they hold by the other cases? So the Gemara says, man dematni ma'asir. If the rabbi is going to say that by ma'asir, which is a law from the Torah, it is permissible to use salt water, kol sheken, a'iruv. All the more so, a'iruv, which is only the Rabbanan, would be permissible to use salt water. Which means, if by the deoraita, we're being lenient, all the more so by the Rabbanan. However, uman dematni a'iruv, but the rabbi had only learned this case by a'iruv that you could use the salt water. Aval ma'asir lo. But by ma'asir, you would not be allowed. Because ma'asir is more strict. So just because we were lenient to use salt water by Eruvin, because it's only Drabanan. But could be by Ma'aser. No, so the question is why not? If you're considering it a food, it should be considered a food for Ma'aser as well, to buy your Ma'aser Sheni money with it also. So the Gemara says, my Tama, you know what the reason is? Pira Ba'inan. We're going to learn that one of the ramifications of the food that you're buying for with Ma'aser money, it has to be called a peri. It has to be some sort of fruit. And therefore, not necessarily a fruit as we know it, but it has to be in the category of a peri. Salt and water are not considered a peri, obviously. So therefore, so we're going to learn later on for Pesukim. So again, the reason why he'll hold that even salt water mixture will not work by Ma'aser is because the concept of peri. So comes the Gemara and says, Ki atar Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, Matni Ma'aser. So he learned the Mishnah on Ma'aser, meaning he allowed salt water for Ma'aser when it's mixed together. Metive. So it brought a question. He'id Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lefne Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish gave a testimony in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he said, "Shel bet Abba." Says, "In my father's house, hayu lochin tsir. Tsir is the brine of the fish. That's the juice that comes out of the fish. It's a very very salty, very very sharp." So he said, "My father's house, they used to buy tsir, the brine of the fish, bekesef maaser, with the money of maaser." So what are you telling me? You're telling me that fish water is okay. So he came along and said, "Hey, my father used to buy fish water." So Amar lo. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer told him, "Shem lo shamarta ela keshekirbe dagim meorabim bahem." He says, "You heard wrong. Your father never bought live brine. He must have bought it when there was actually some fish innards in the mixture itself. That's why he was there, because that's considered already when you have the fish they're considering, the dag, they're considering like a peri. And the stuff that comes out of the fish is also, it's coming from a peri, which is okay." So as I said, when we say a fruit, we don't mean a fruit like an apple or an orange. So a peri is even like something that can give out something. So a fish, if you squeeze it, you can get the insides of it, right? So he says, "Oh yeah," he says, "my father used to buy with Ma'aser money the tzir." He says, no. That tzir had in it actual fish itself. So the Gemara says, "V'afil Rav Yehuda ben Gadish," and even the Rav Yehuda ben Gadish that testified what he said, "Lo kamar ila betzir." He only said by tzir, "Dishumna de pirahi." Because even tzir, you can argue and say, it's the juice of a peri. I mean, you squeeze the fish, you get the fish juice out of it. Aval mayim u'melach lo. Which means, you're telling me that mayim and melach is good for ma'aser. We have a story with Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish. He claims his father used to use ma'aser money with tzir. If you want to say that that's true, if you want to say that he did use his money for tzir, I could argue and say only tzir, because that's considered a product of the fish itself. Therefore, it's like squeezing the juice of a fruit. So you're squeezing the brine out of the fish, exactly. And especially according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer came along and said what? He said impossible. He said they never matir tzir at all. There was actual fish inside of it, but according to everybody, salt and water is not going to be viable. So how could you tell me salt and water? They asked them a question from two rabbis. Would that have been Gadish? And for it to be the Eizer. Either he was only matir tzir because it's considered a peri of the fish. It's a extraction of the fish, which is okay. Or according to the Bidya Eizer, no, there was actual fish inside of it. But salt and water mixed? Nobody would be matir. So the Gemara says, about mayim u'melach? No, exactly. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yosef, lo nitzrecha ela shenatan netochan shemen. Says, you're right. the case that we talked about salt and water being permissible is only when you added some oil in there. If you didn't add oil in the salt and water, you're right. It's not going to be good for maaser. You have to have oil in it. So Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Once you have oil in it, so what are you confusing me with salt and water? The point is you have oil. It's the, why digress me with salt and water? The point is salt and water is not good. Point is it's the oil that makes it. So the Gemara says, Amad Abaye Fetipuk Nemishim Shemin. Just say oil. What do you have to come and tell me that if you have a case of salt and water and you put oil in it, it's good? Of course, there's oil. The issue is not the salt and the water. The issue is that you have something that's considered a peri, that comes from a peri. For example, the oil comes from a peri. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo tzericha shenatan dememai mumelach behabla. We're talking over here where a person bought water and salt mixture, and it came with the oil. What's the case? That's she. Second line. Behavla'a literally means it was swallowed in the price. Bishvil amayim vehamelach, because of the water and the salt, kana shemin biyokir. So now, the price of the oil became a little more expensive, but he bought them all together. V'bliya bought them him, which means he bought both of them together, which means now when a guy goes and let's say like the Gemara is going to give a case in a moment. I'll give you the example of the Gemara so you understand this case. A guy goes and takes his money from Ma'aser and he goes to buy an animal. Now, the animal has the meat, which is edible. The animal also has the skins. So the question is, do you have to take the skins of the animal and sell them to buy food for Maaser? Or do you say, no, that's swallowed into the price, meaning you take the food and the rest of the stuff becomes holin. The Gemara is going to tell us you could buy an animal with kesef of Maaser and the skins are considered swallowed into the price. Or for that matter, you have a sheep and you buy it with kesef of Maaser and it has its shearings. Do you have to sell the wool and now buy food? Gemara's going to say, no, it's habla'ah. And you're buying it in one shot, so it all goes together. You just take the food stuff, and the rest of the stuff goes to holin. Or for that matter, you're going to buy a bottle of wine with the kesef maaser. Do you have to now empty the wine out, sell the bottle, and buy more food? No, habla'ah, it all comes as one. So here also, here you had stuff, you had a mixture of salt, water and oil. So you came along now and you bought them all together. So since you bought them all together, the hidush is you don't have to now be concerned and sell the salt water. You need it to get the oil. Right? So you have to go now sift out the salt water and say, oh, the salt water now, sell it, take the... No, since you bought it, you primarily were buying the oil. But they sold it to you together with the other stuff, so therefore it's considered permissible. That was the chidush of the statement. Not that salt water and you add oil is kasher for maaser, but that is kasher to buy maaser. The chidush is when you buy it, you disregard the value of the salt water, you just regard the value of the oil, and that's considered your maaser. As the Gemara says, how do you know this? Gemara asks that you about Is buying maaser or using money for maaser in this way permissible? The Gemara says, "In yes, indeed." The Gemara says, "What do you mean that?" I'm sorry. This is a proof. This is a proof that we're going to show you habla is mutad. That when you buy something together that has maaser food and not, it's okay. Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag taught. Babakar. It says in the pasuk by money of Maaser, and I read the pasuk. Venatata kesef bechol asher ta'ave nafshecha. It says, and you'll take the money and go buy whatever you want. And then the Torah gives us examples. Babakar, that's cattle. Batzon, sheep. Bayayin, wine. Ubashechar, shechar would be like something that is intoxicating. So the Gemara says, Babakar, what do we learn from the fact that it says cattle? Which is, why did it even have to say cattle? You just told me, bechol asher ta'ave nafshecha. Buy whatever you want. So why does the Torah have to tell me, example, bakar? You know what the hadush is? Melamed shelokhin bakar al gav oro. That you could buy the bakar, the cattle, with its hides, and you don't have to subsequently sell the hides for food. Which means you spent $100 of ma'asir money. Right? You bought an animal. You bought a cow. So now, that whole cow, which cost you $100, is not all edible. Let's say $30 of the cow goes to the hides. So now you have to go now and redeem the hides for $30 of food? No, you bought it blah blah. Since you bought it as one, it's swallowed into the price, it's okay. That's the Hadush of Bakar. Ubatzon, what does sheep teach you? Melamed. Shelokhin son al gabe gizata. Which means that you're able to buy the sheep even though it has its shearings. You don't have to sell the shearings. Now, what's the hadush here? The hadush is here by the sheep. You have two things. You have skin, and you have shearings, and still, it's okay. That works, bablah. Babakar, you only have one item, bablah, the hides. By the son, you have the or plus the giza, and still, it's okay. Next case, ubayayin, when it comes to wine, melamed shelokhin yayin al gabe kankano. That you could buy wine and include in the price is the barrel. You don't have to subtract the price of the barrel. That's the kankan. Ubashechar melamed shelokhin temid mishechmitz. What is temid? Temid is exactly that she says, shenotnim bayim baharzanim. They take, let's say, the sediments of the grapes. Let's say the pits and the seeds and all that, and they add a lot of water into it. And now what happens is she's ushechmitz when it starts to become a little vinegary. After it stops, fermenting, havi kiyayin. It's like it's very very thick wine that also it's actually very water. There's a lot of water in this wine, as she says. Alma, oh no. So what do you see over here? That even though that there's a lot of extra water, let's say, that is not going to be used. You're only using the actual wine itself, but it has a lot of water that you have to empty out. Still, you could buy it. Blah, blah. So that's the din of the timid. Now, what do you see from here, bottom line? That you're able to buy ma'asir, blah, blah. I'm out of Yohanan. So Yohanan came along and said, Man de mitargem li babakar alibad ben bagbag. If somebody can explain to me what the word babakar is coming for ben bagbag, movilna mane abatre le ben masuta. I will take his clothes to the bathhouse. I'll take his clothes to the cleaners for him. What was he saying? Meaning, if somebody can explain to me the derasha ben bagbag, why you need the word bakar, obviously must be a great tamid hacham, I will be willing to serve him. Meaning, if I have to take his clothes, that rabbi that can explain this to me, I'll bring it to the bathhouse to clean it for him. Why? He had a problem. What was the derasha of Bakar? What's the problem? We learned what the derasha was. Bakar is teaching you even the skins. So he says like this. My ta'ama, what's my problem? What's my question? Kulehu tzirichi. All the different words in the pasuk you need. Levar mibibakar. You don't need the word babakar. Why? The lo tzarich, you don't need it. Why? My tzariche. What does it mean that you need all the other ones? The ikativ rahmana babakar. If the Torah wrote, which means for the Gemara says, first of all, what do you mean you need them? Why do you need all these words? If the Torah wrote the word bakar, hava amina bakar hu demizdaben al gabe oro mishum degufehu. You know what, I'll tell you, when you buy cattle, the skins are included, because I can tell you it's attached. Since it's attached, if it's one, therefore it's considered part of it. However, aval tzon al gabe gizata delav gufehu emala. But I could argue and say when it comes to the shearings, it's really not part of the animal, it's an extension of the animal. What's the proof? When you cut the shearings off, you're not the animal's still alive. You're not you could shear it without killing it. It's not part of it per se. It's an extension of it. Mm-hmm. So I would have thought that what? That maybe only when it's on. Kamash Maran the pasuk says son. Good. V'iketiv rahman abat son. And if the Torah just said son, al gabe gizata what the giza hava mina mishum de mechubarba. I can argue and say, you know what, because at least it's attached. Aval, yayin al gabe kankano, but wine in the barrel, emalo. So that's what I have to tell me. Yayin. Vi ketiv rahman abe yayin, if it just told me yayin, hava amina mishub dahainu netirute. I tell you, because the barrel is protecting the wine. Which means you need the wine in the barrel to preserve it. Aval temed. But when it comes to this temed, this type of special wine, mishich meets, when it becomes, vinegared, dekiwa be'almau, which means now it has a sharpness to it and a acidity to it, ema lo, which means that she, I would say that, right, that water has nothing to do with the wine over there, the temed. Bishlam, I can tell you my wine, the barrel is necessary. Ta-da. But here the water in the temed is really doesn't do anything to the temed. And therefore, it takes away some of the acidity to it. But that's not considered maybe something you could join in. Bablaha. So bottom line, in his first understanding of the Pesukim, he says, you know what? It seems you need every single word. You need babakar, bason, Bayayin Ubashikhar. Then he comes along and says, Katab Rahmana Shikhar. Good. Now the Ikatib Rahmana Bashikhar, let's go the other way. Let's say the Torah wrote Shikhar alone. Hava Amina my Shikhar. I would say, you know what Shikhar is referring to? Devela Ke'ilit. I would tell you it's a certain type of Devela, a certain type of figs that come from a city called Ke'ilit. Depirahu. It's a fruit. And the hadush of this fruit was that it was so powerful, it was intoxicating. Which is, you're able to eat a fruit and you're able to get drunk from it. Shekhar usually means something that is able to intoxicate. Which means like this, if Yohanan saying, if I only had the word shekhar, the last word in the pasuk, I would tell you, it's not teaching you a law of habla'ah. I'll tell you, it's talking about where a guy wants to take his money from Ma'asir and actually spend it on not temed that has the water with it, that's not, he's buying a fruit that intoxicates. Oh, so what's the Torah tell me? Aval yayin al gabe kankano emalo. But I would say, buying wine with its barrel, maybe that doesn't work. May I only let you buy the figs because why? They're actually a fruit. However, yayin with the barrel, maybe doesn't work. Oh, so that's why it says yayin. To teach me what? That it's okay. V'iketiv rahmana yayin al gabe kankano. I would tell you, haynu nitiruta. I said, because it's protecting it. Aval tson al gabe gizata emalo. But I'll tell you that the shearings of the sheep are not included. So ketiv rahmana tson. That's what I have to say, son. Da'afil al gabe gizata. Babakar lamali. So that's Rabbi Yohanan's question. What do you need, bakar? Which means, once I'm telling you that giza, all the more so, the hides. Which means the giza, which we said is not attached. When you go backwards, when you start from shekhar, and you work your way up. Shekhar, if it said it alone, I would say it's talking about a fruit. Oh, that's the Hadud says yayin. So now I know that even you're allowed to buy the yayin with the barrel. And if it said yayin only, I'd say yeah, because it's protecting it. Kamash malan, son. That even the giza, that's not protecting the animal, still it is. Personal divide, they have la'ah. Once I'm learning like that, babakar is automatically superfluous. Because automatically, if I could buy son to have la'ah, I could buy bakar that has the hide. So the Gemara says, v'chitem, Rabbi Yohanan still talking. Well, maybe you'll answer me. Ilo ketav rahmana babakar. If it didn't say the word bakar, have amina son al gabe ora in al gabe gizata lo. Which is, maybe I would learn, son is not teaching us the hadush that you could buy the giza behavla'ah. I tell you, maybe the hadush of tzon is only the or. Maybe I would learn hides from the word tzon. Right? So therefore again, haba amina tzon agabe ora'in agabe gizatalo. Therefore, ketiv rahmana babakar. So you know why the Torah wrote bakar? Bakar teaches me hides, and therefore tzon must be teaching me giza. La tuye oro aitar la tson. So son is extra. La tuye gizata. So again, Rabbi Hanan answers his question. You're telling me bakar is extra? I can answer you. I can answer you like this. You know why you need bakar? Because if it just would have said son, I would right away learn the smaller hadush. I would say son teaches me the hides. It's the hides are attached. But I would never have known Giza. But now that Bakar teaches me hides, obviously Son now is extra. So Son must be coming to teach me Giza. So Rabbi Hanan so far says, I can justify the word Bakar. Now he comes with his question. He says, so he says, no. If the Torah did not write the word Bakar, I would never have thought that. I would never have learned son for the hides and for the shearings, no. Because if that was the case, because then the Torah should have written the word Bakar, dememela aitar le tzon, and therefore tzon automatically would have been superfluous. Vechevan dekatav rahmana tzon, daafilu al gabe gizata babakar labali. Which means, if the Torah was only coming to tell you the din of or, so just say bakar. Don't even mention tzon. Which means, why confuse me with son that has shearings, all that? You want to just teach me, oh, that's the maximum you can go with havla'ah? Say the word bakar. From the fact that you didn't only say the word bakar, you said the word son, must be you're coming to tell me what? That really, giza is permissible. That's why you chose the word son. If you only teach me hides, don't even say the word son bichlal. Say the word bakar and it's finished. From the fact that you said son, son is extra. Elawat, you're coming to teach me that the giza is permissible. Once you tell me the giza is permissible, babakar lameli. If the giza is permissible, all the more so the hides. So that's what Rabbi Hanan meant. If anybody could tell me why you need the word babakar, according to Ben Bagbag, I'll take us close to the cleaners. It's extra. No matter how you learn, you don't need it. Just for the fact that it said son, I could deduce bakar. So the Gemara says, "Hashtat son al gabiz gizatam is davna." Because if the son could be bought with its shearings, bakar al gabe oron mebaya. Do you have to tell me bakar with its hide? Hainu de kamar Rabbi Yohanan, and that's what Rabbi Yohanan meant. Man de mitargem di bakar adibad de ben bagbag movir lemane lebe masuta. Now comes the Gemara and says, "Bemai kamefleger Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish." Which means, we said in the Braita above, that the Yehuda ben Gadish said what? That his father put the, bought his kesef maaser, he bought with it fish brine. And the Bidya'ezer came along and said, no, he didn't bite seed, there was actual fish inside. Which means everybody agrees that fish is okay. That's not the machloket. Fish is good. The machloket is seer, or do you have... You have to have the fish itself. Now, furthermore, Vahani Tana'ed Lekaman. There's actually another Tana coming up. It's a third opinion, which is going to say that what? That's going to say that even fish is no good. So technically you have three shitot. You have Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and the Bilya'ez that say fish is good, but the machloket is brine. It's brine, because that's the juice of the fish. And then you have another Tana, which we're going to mention now, that's going to say, even fish is out. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the basis of this three-way machloket amongst the Tanaim? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer, Darshe Rebuye Ume'ute, Vahari Tanae Darshi Klale Uprate. So let me give you an introduction to this. There's different ways to draw out Hiddushim from our Torah. Our Torah was written in a certain way that based on certain principles, for example, a principle called the Klal Prat Klal, you're able to draw information. What is a Klal Prat Klal? When the Torah says something in general, and then comes and gives a specific, and then goes back and gives a generality, that is called a Klal, a Prat, and a Klal. A classic example is the case of Maaser. What did the Pasuk say? When you want to go cash in your ma'asir money, b'chon asher ta'avid afshecha. But whatever you want. Buy whatever you want. That's a klal. Then it comes and says, prat, babakar, bason, bayayin, u'bashecha. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, "Ubchol asher tishalicha nafshecha," whatever you want. So it's a klal, a prat, and a klal. So how does that principle work? So the Gemara is going to tell you that from the fact that it gave us certain examples, bakar, son, yayin, shechar. So therefore, the generalities that we're including are not limited to those, but it can be also items that are similar to those. Which means, if it just would have said klal and a prat, then the klal only includes what the Torah delineated in the prat. But from the fact that it went and gave you another klal afterwards, or whatever you want to buy, so then the rule is, en bichlal ela ke'en ha-perat. Which means things that are similar to the prat. It's not only those four items, it's things that are similar. That's one way of learning. But then you have another style that's called a ribui, a mi'ut, and a ribui. Hey, a ribui literally means an inclusion, an exclusion, and an inclusion. It sounds the same thing like a klal, prat, klal, but it's not. It's called a ribui, a mi'ut, and a ribui. Now, this pasuk again would be a classic example of a ribui, mi'ut, and a ribui. The rabbis that don't learn this as a klal, prat, klal can learn it as a ribui, mi'ut, and a ribui. Why they choose to learn it using this klal over the other one, that's another subject. But there's rabbis that learn this pasuk using this principle. The ribui would be, bechol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. The mi'ut, bebakar, batzon, bayayin, bashechar. And then you have another ribui that says, bechol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. How does this differ from the other item? The way this differs is like this. When you have your ribui, tells you everything, right? Then you have your mi'ut. The mi'ut tells you, well, this one, this one, this one. The way they learn a ribui mi'ut is that things that are similar to the ones that the Torah delineates. At that point already you're going with similar. Meaning the Torah tells you anything. What does anything mean? Anything like the things we're mentioning. That would be if it were just a ribui and a mi'ut. According to klal prat, it's only what the prat says. In ribui mi'ut, it's things that are similar. So if it just was a ribui and a mi'ut, already you have a lot of items included. So what is a ribui mi'ut a ribui? The second ribui comes along and says even things that are not similar. Which means not only the items that are written, but even items that are not written and not similar to the prat. So the extension of a ribui, mi'ut ribui, is much more extended. Mm-hmm. Which is whereas in a klal prat klal, you only get ke'en a prat. But in the ribui, mi'ut ribui, you get even things that are not ke'en a prat. You even get things that are not similar. So based on these two ways of learning, that's actually going to be the basis of the machloket of the Tanaim. And let's read this inside. Gemara says, and we are starting from the two lines before they get white. B'mai kamifligi Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish for the Bili Aizer v'hani Tana'ed and the Kaman. What is this three-way machloket amongst these rabbis? Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish for the Bili Aizer, which say fish is okay. You could buy ma'asir money, you could take ma'asir money, buy fish. Right? The whole machloket was what? Brine or not, but fish, they all agreed is okay. Darshi ribui umi'ote. They learned the pasuk in a ribui mi'ut style. The hani tana'eh that say fish is no good. Darshi klale ufyate. They learn as a klal prat, so therefore it's more limited. And the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish Rabbi Yehuda darshi ribui mi'ut. Venatata kesef bekol asher ta'aveh nafshecha riba. That's a ribui. Buy whatever you want. Babakar ubason bayayin bashechar mi'et. That's a mi'ut. Ubkol asher tish'alecha nafshecha hazar v'riba. So what do you have? Riba umi'et v'riba, riba akol. It's coming to tell you everything. My rabbe kol mile. It's coming to tell you anything. However, what's the exception? Umay mi'et, l'rabi'ezer mi'et sir. According to mi'ezer, it's going to tell you that the brine is no good. Salt water is no good. But besides those exceptions, they're going to tell you fish would be okay, which it doesn't have to only be like Yayin, Shekhan, all those eyes that are mentioned, not even similar. It can be even something that is not, so much as it's a total ribuy. Now, Gemara continues. The other rabbis that say fish is forbidden to buy, use maaser money for fish, they learn it in a klal prat klal, the Tanya. Which means these items over here that were mentioned, all what? All produce from something. It's a peri from a peri. The animal produces from its mother, so to speak. The grapes produce from grapes, which means they reproduce, and they're on the gidule karka. They all come from the ground. They nourish themselves from the ground. Af kol peri mi peri vigidule karka. For that matter, any thing that's peri from peri, and also that is considered a gidule karka. Now, v'tanya idak, we have another braita. We'll see, one moment, we have a braita. Ma prat meforash velad veladot ha'ares, just like the prat is referred to something that grows from the ground, meaning it was created, and that she says in Sheshit Mebe Ma'aseh Bereshit, when God created the world, these items were created on land. That's called velad veladot ha'ares. They were created during Sheshit Mebe Ma'aseh Bereshit on the ground. Af kol velad veladot ha'ares. Now, we have two ways of learning the prat. Either the prat is something that comes from a fruit from a fruit, or something that was created on the land. Two ways of learning the prat. We have two braitot. One braita says the common denominator between all these prats is what? That it's a peri from a peri. The animal comes from its mother. The fruit comes from a fruit. Right? The yayin is the grapes come from grapes. Peri from a peri. The second way of learning the common denominator between all of them is what? They were created on land during Shishim Ma'aseh Bereshit. What's going to be the nafka minah between the two ways of learning the common denominator? So the Gemara might be nayu, Amar Abaye Dagimika benayu. It's going to be fish. Lemad Amar Peri Meperi Vigidule Karka, Hari Dagim Gidule Karka Ninu. The Gemara wants to consider fish also getting sustenance from the ground. Not from the actual ground, but they get sustenance from the ground of the ocean. So therefore that's considered also gedule karka. But according to the opinion that says, no, the common denominator is what? Things that were created on earth, in Shishim Ma'aseh Bereshit, dagim imaya ibru. The dagim were created in the water. So let's review now. Let's review. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Gaddish, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they clearly say fish is permissible. They learn it how? They learn it, the pasuk, through a ribuy, mi'ut ribuy. When you learn with a ribuy, mi'ut ribuy, you're unlimited. You can include anything. You don't have to even be similar to the platim. So what are they excluding? So one rabbi will include sir, and one rabbi will exclude Maim and Melach. Now, according to the other Tana that says fish is no good, he'll have to be going, first of all, in a klal prat klal, which automatically is limited. And even in the klal prat klal, he can only be going like the Braita that says that the prat's common denominator is it wasn't created on earth in Shishim Ma'aseh Bereshit. That would exclude fish. However, if you learn the klal prat klal, that it's referring to things that get sustenance from the karka, it can include fish. So therefore, even according to that opinion that says dagim are not included, it's only according to one way of learning the klal prat klal. But there is a way to learn the klal prat klal, which you can really come and say fish would be included as well. So because that we have a machloket, it's three shitot, I should say. Two of the three shitot say dagim is okay to buy your ma'aser money with, and one of the shitot say no. The shitot that say fish is not a problem, because they have a very, very flexible way of learning, to a ribuy mi'ut, therefore they're coming to include everything. Technically, they could have even learned in a klal prat klal, according to this braita, technically. And according to the other opinion, it says fish is no good, because they learn from a klal prat klal, according to the braita, that says it has to come from the ground. In conclusion, comes out from today's Gemara, some laws that we have to keep in mind. Number one, we all agree that when it comes to the Eruvin, Maim and Melach is not going to be good. That already we said is the Kula Alma. However, regarding Ma'aser, also we agreed, Maim and Melach, no good. But we learned the Hadush today of, if there was Shemin in it, meaning it was bought, Behabla'a, it would be good. And the Maskanat Gemara, according to Aliz Ben Bagbag, was what? That Habla'a on all levels. Even if it's hides, even if it's shearings, even if it's the bottle of the wine, the barrel, even if it's the water that's mixed in with the timid, you do not have to subtract it from the actual shearing. Rabbi Yochanan questioned the Dirashah, what do you need Bakar for? Once son is being written, Bakar is an automatic, because if you can tell me the shearing's automatically the hide, he didn't have an answer to that question. And then we discussed the machloket of the fish. Is fish according to everybody, at least two opinions is good, one opinion not, based on a crop plot or a dibuim. Amen. Amen.